Hello, folks. I'm Canadian Git, and I'm going to be here fielding moderation office hours for the next 30 minutes. I'll be here to answer any questions you have on the moderation team, the guidelines more broadly, the mentor program, or of course, an old question you'd like to ask about Resonite. Those are just the topics I know the best or the most about. Before we get started, can I get someone to jump into the moderation office hours thread, which you can find up in the office hours questions forum with today's date? Nuki started it for us this week. Just can someone confirm that I'm coming through loud and clear? You can hear my voice. Good to see I'm getting a couple of affirmatives in there. It's always a bit awkward if I've been talking into the void for the first 5 minutes of a conversation. It's not great, not ideal for the follow-up recording. Thank you very much, Nuki, for collecting a bunch of questions for a broader conversation that appears to have happened throughout the week. I'm going to, I think, filter through these questions whenever things are otherwise quiet. But if you have questions of your own, that's what I'm here for. Feel free to drop them in that thread and mark them with a little Q. I will get to those questions in the order they are asked. I'll take this moment to give a little PSA. If you are interested to field questions to moderation outside of a thread like this or moderation office hours, another avenue you are welcome to make use of is sending a question in through the ticket system. We have help topics in there for all sorts of things reporting other users, things for reporting stolen assets, things for providing staff complaints. But one of the help topics is just an inquiry. You're curious about a thing and you'd like to get a written answer, which can sometimes be convenient. If you're worried about something being contentious inside of a group of friends. Of course, I always do encourage people to come here if you'd like to get a, I suppose face to face is not the accurate way to describe this, but a voice to voice, text to voice, still an immediate response. That said, it looks like it's pretty quiet so far. I'm not getting many questions rolling in there, so I'm going to start chewing through this thread. Looking at the first, it's why does the auto moderation stop messages with phrases like, and here's an example phrase with asshole censored out. It appears it's a profanity blocker. Is this a misconfiguration? I don't believe that's a. Oh, that might be an issue at the moment. I'd like you to flag all potential concerns coming down the line as we try to establish standards for the auto blocker. It might have standards that deviate slightly from us. We've not been particularly aggressive concerning profanity previously, at least what I might classify as low-level profanity. That is something that we're still going to have to tweak in its settings. So just continue to tag moderation as a role whenever we've got oddities in that regard, and we will hash it out inside of our admin channel to establish that standard going forward. Visited by a cat. 1 second. He's small and tiny and adorable, but was occupying all of the space that let me read my questions. The immediate follow-up here being, is it not intentional that blocks low-level profanity? And I would say no. Admittedly, where one draws the line on low-level profanity is the standard. I was intentionally being somewhat nebulous around. My immediate read of the example you provided is no, that should not have been blocked. If we find we're having problems with that standard might be tweaked inside of the Discord, but I anticipate that not being an issue going forward. So I have only briefly put an eyeball on the thread that Nukia provides a convenient link towards. So I'm just going to chew through them on a question-by-question basis rather than trying to delve through the broader discussion itself. Of course, if folks would like, or if they're a part of that discussion and they would like further clarification on any of the points, I'm always happy to field the questions here. Feel free to drop them again in that same thread. We'll just chew through them as they come in. So first and foremost of the questions, does moderation go after people who are just generally rude in public sessions? So this is just based, I don't think it's the point of the question, but I always like to take a moment to elaborate on moderation typically doesn't go after people. We are reactive. People send in complaints or concerns to us. We investigate the situation, see if there is guideline breaking behavior, and then act. We're not in your sessions. We don't act as beat cops. I should clarify when I say we're not in your session, you may occasionally see a skeleton, me, floating about in your session. So we might physically be there, but we're not there as moderators scouring the sessions, running a beat cop like path through the worlds trying to find problems. No, those are just people that are enjoying the same Resonite you are as users. The moderation role itself is responding to tickets that come in, engaging with that, investigating it based on the evidence, and then issuing account restrictions or warnings as appropriate, or nothing, as occasionally happens if the investigation does not yield actionable content. When it comes to people being rude, if you submitted a ticket concerning that sort of behavior, we're likely to begin with perhaps a warning to a user if it's perhaps vague on exactly how rude they were. This is a vague example, so at the most I could give you is we will likely send out a reminder or warning about conduct to the person if we thought it was getting to that point, and encourage self-moderation tools to the user who submitted the ticket. Usually, that allows one to draw a very definable line that would typically be one of the first recommendations we give you. Use your blocking systems, use session blah. Kicks or bans as appropriate. If all else fails, make it very clear to the other user, hello, I would like you to stop talking to me, stop bugging me, stop interacting with me. And then after you've made that clear, if they cross that line, well, we're pretty black and white in harassment, and moderation is going to step in at that point with either warnings or, of course, follow-up actions. I've seen a whole lot of typing, so let me just scroll down to the bottom. So to clarify, if I call someone an asshole, that's not okay. But describing general behavior with the term is okay. Do I have it right? I think one could be passive aggressive in a fashion that's going to get the mods occasionally telling you, hey, maybe this conversation ought to stop. If the mods are stepping in at that point, gently encouraging the conversation to take a new direction or simply cease the interactions inside of Discord, my recommendation is follow their advice, of course. I don't think that term alone is likely to elicit an auto mod response, though that standard may tweak in the future. But when it comes to describing people or their behavior, I could see a number of scenarios where even making it somewhat more passive nonetheless has a mod step in. So I'm not going to give across the board. Anuki's follow-up example of just posting the word absent all other context. Okay, that's fine. I mean, spam might eventually be an issue if one's doing that inside of threads that are inappropriate, but like just the word devoid of any potential for being an insult or directing it at another user should not generally, I anticipate, won't be part of the problem coming down the line. I'm going to mark a couple of these as checked. We do have a couple of other questions. I'm going to field those, then we'll go back to the list and again just bounce back and forth based on the quietness of the responses coming in. XO asks, recently I noticed a user I had blocked recently made a new account, not username change. Could this be considered block evasion? I mean, there's certainly the possibility depending on their actions. The actual I've made a new account and no other context wouldn't be sufficient. People could have a bunch of different reasons for making another account. Maybe they ran out of storage. Maybe they wanted a new username. Maybe they just forgot their password and the password for their email associated with the old account and ended up with a new one. The mere creation of account would be insufficient, I think, for us to take action. But yeah, I could imagine any number of follow-up actions after making a new account that might be worth investigation. If you've seen other actions tied to that, they're trying to get back into worlds, they're trying to perhaps deceive people about who they are when they come back in, or they've just made it very clear that they made the new account, came back in, told you that the block didn't work because they did that. If you give us a video of those sorts of actions, it's pretty black and white now. Block evasion, yes. But that sort of additional action would need to exist beyond the mere creation of an account. Curve asks, just a confirmation related to kicking someone from a session using the kick button is okay, but blasting them with a kick gun is not correct. And that is correct. We don't endorse homemade mod tools that accomplish the same or are intended to accomplish the same until you use the built-in ones. Don't use any kind of kick guns. Don't use any other sort of tool made by the community. There's always the potential for those to break. There's always the potential for those to be disorienting or have effects in them that we don't want. So we're never going to endorse them as a moderation team. The use of them could, certainly if used incorrectly, lead to harassment tickets against yourself. Please make use of the actual session moderation tools available and blocking tools that are available. Nuki gave a variety of potential context additional questions for the question on whether making a new account would count as a ban evasion. How long between blocking and new account making? Literally no time. Again, just making a new account is insufficient for us to act on this. So it could happen immediately, it could happen a week later, it could happen a year later. That would not be sufficient for us. Just ask. How severe was the behavior you blocked for? Again, unrelated, unless there's something else of the user coming back in to get around to that evasion. And did they try to recontact you? That's a big red flag. If they have made a new account in any of those contexts and then tried to, of course, reassociate with the people that had banned or blocked them, that's something that you should immediately talk to moderation about. That does appear to be circumnavigating an attempt to cut communication. That is certainly something we want to hear about. Draconis Rain asks, question, I blocked and removed someone who used to be on my friends list. However, I don't think they removed me from their contact list as they still show up under contact sessions of the world tab. How do I stop them from showing up, preferably without contacting them? That's something I think you're going to have to take to GitHub. I'm not certain if that behavior is strictly unintended or included, because if it was removed, there would be issues in other locations. But it does sound like something that, from my base level intuition, ought not be happening. I'm not aware, based on that, how one might be able to prevent them from showing up. Again, I would move it over to GitHub, start a discussion there, see with a conversation with the coders if there are other things floating behind the scenes that might be forcing that to happen, or if it's just a bug that they might be able to fix. Thank you, as always, for bringing these sorts of issues to our attention. Zenon asks, how are bug reports sorted and prioritized to be fixed? So I'm a moderator, which means I know roughly nothing about the development side in terms of bug fixes and coding, but I can talk in very broad terms. When it comes to fixes of bugs specifically, not new features, one has to assume it is relating both to the time invested in that fix and the impact of that fix, though I'm not going to be able to give you any kind of concrete metric in this regard. The most I can point to in terms of a better place to ask this question would also be by going over to Probable Prime's hours. He is one of our coders and happily does rattle through any number of fixes. You'll see him kicking around devlog every single month, just smashing bugs and working on other things. He might be able to speak more in depth about the bug prioritization process inside of the coding sync. And Draconis Rain, how to follow up. I assume this would be filed as a bug. And likely, I think that's the correct way to lead in. It certainly seems like an appropriate behavior. You might get a response with devs clarifying why it's that way if it's not a bug. But I would lead in with bug. It seems like it ought to be. Nuki asks, follow-up to the kick gun question, what about making users go flying? I have seen guns, traps, even nose boopers do this, and sometimes it's effectively hidden. As moderation tools, no, I would not endorse any of those. As a fun thing one could use inside of Resonite, I always recommend that proper VR etiquette dictates you should let people know what you're going to do to them before you do it to them. That was part of a broader PSA we ran for a number of months there where we like to highlight. While the broad guidelines suggest persistent behavior is harassment, i.e. if a thing happens and then the person tells you, stop doing that thing, and you persist in doing that thing, we've stepped into harassment. Outside of the guidelines, we have this idea of etiquette inside of VR that moderation likes to stump on about every now and then. And in terms of etiquette, you just don't know how someone's going to respond to almost anything you do to them inside of VR. There's some things that us who have been in VR for an extended period of time don't feel any sort of disorientation or nausea over: changing colors, rapid movement, transportation or teleportation. Those things we're just used to. And so it's at best a novel effect or kind of interesting to have it happen to us. But someone who just put on the headset or simply doesn't have the same tolerance as you could be deeply discomforted by those sorts of actions. Because of that, even before you've done it once, it's always best to clarify with the person, you know, where their tolerance lies at. Let them know what's going to happen. Be polite and ask first. We have a follow-up question. Nuki says, I've seen a user with a booper that sends you flying because they don't like being booped, i.e. someone I presume had to boop them, and then the person who touched their avatar gets sent flying. If I have that correct, I see Nuki typing. I imagine they will clarify in just half a second. I think I'm on the right track when it comes to that, though. This is certainly where I can understand why users think it's justified, but it would not be. The short answer is no. Throwing users through the air without letting them know what's happening is something that could potentially be problematic and could lead to moderation. I don't say account restrictions. We're likely to lead with reminders and warnings, let people understand where the lines are drawn in that scenario, but it could be an issue in regards to the guidelines. You're not letting people know what's going to happen. You're flinging them through the air. You're changing their position. It's disruptive to both the other user. It's disruptive to the session. The tentative justification would be that person won't be disrupted unless they first disrupt the other user. But just like we made the argument with moderation tools, community made moderation tools previously, we don't endorse these alternative methods of dealing with harassment. We only endorse the blocking system, the session, moderation tools, reaching out to us to get additional things. Making tools or self-defense mechanisms could certainly still leave you liable to some sort of harassment counterclaim if they are disorienting enough. Nuki says, so I should tell this user that I said, me, Canadian get, it's not good etiquette. Yeah, I'd say a anti-booper that launches people away is a bad idea. That's not something that moderation is going to endorse. It might not lead to account restrictions, but it could lead to situations where a person who did something wrong by touching their avatar without asking, which I imagine would have to be the first step, that user's done something wrong, might then lead up to a follow-up wrong of flinging that person away that could be in a very disorienting thing to them, could potentially cause them to crash. And we're in a situation where we effectively have two wrongs. It has not made a right, and moderation is not happy with anyone involved. We're likely to lead with reminders, tell them, please don't do any of the things you both did, but it's not something where we're going to be happy because of a preceding bad action. I missed a clarification higher. Their nose has an indicator that you can boop it, and when you click, you go flying. That would be, I'm sorry, I misinterpreted where this is. It certainly isn't something that I would endorse. Otherwise, I see why you asked about traps earlier. Yeah, that's certainly the sort of thing that could lead to harassment claims or some sort of session disruption claim. I wouldn't recommend building something that is going to draw users in and then give them a very disorienting outcome. That's the sort of thing, certainly if you haven't informed them what could happen or made sure that they're comfortable with the experience they're going to get, could be very disorienting or nauseating for a new user to VR. It's not the sort of tool I'd recommend using on unsuspecting users. A couple of folks are commenting, just people get grumpy sometimes when they get booped, and now they go around making sure they ask people first. That's my recommendation. Do that. Try to ask people before you do things. The examples I used when talking about etiquette were being thrown through the air, being potentially crashed, potentially teleported, maybe shrunk, or having big colors flash. But even shoving something like your hand into another person's viewport could be very disorienting. So it's the sort of thing where I would say etiquette dictates you should clarify what you're doing with someone before you do it. Cork asks, I also heard someone got banned for booping someone. Can that happen? It would have to be a rather extreme series of escalations to do that. If someone was repetitively shoving their hand in another user's face and that user tried to get them to stop, they could certainly submit a ticket to moderation. And we would likely lead with a reminder to the person shoving their hand in the other person's face, telling them to stop doing that behavior. If they decided to persist nonstop, we would slowly escalate. It would lead to a light account restriction. And if they kept doing it, just disregarding that, a moderate one. And then if they kept doing it, a rather long-term one. And if they kept doing it, theoretically, you could get banned forever by booping. But you would have to be very persistently harassing a single individual or large group of individuals to get to that point. I hope most users would take the warnings and the account restrictions long before it got to that point. Now, I do think I missed one. If I missed any of your questions, I always like to say, please just reply to your own question and then note that it was missed. I will try and grab it the second time. I see that Cork asks, what about the audio crashing the game every time it switches? That's not something I can speak to. It sounds like a bug. Unfortunately, as a moderator, I can't field bugs inside of this office hours more broadly, and certainly would not be the person going after it, even if it was submitted on GitHub. But my recommendation is always to bring it to GitHub. Include logs, include as much information as you can about when this is happening so that the coders are capable of replicating it, and hopefully they'll get that fixed relatively quick. Nuki talks about a user that has a toggleable indicator for when they don't want to be touched. I certainly endorse that. That's a very good way to try and communicate with other users. Just provide indications if you're not interested in continuously having a repetitive conversation. People have made all sorts of fantastic things embedded into nameplates to try and spread further information as well, and I always like those. It's a clever and good way to kind of showcase common concerns you run into. Cork says, also, has anyone addressed the anti-mentors that are active in the game? I've heard this, that there was an individual with a not-mentor badge running around describing themselves as an anti-mentor. To my previous understanding of this issue, it was a person doing a bit. This was a joke. They were very clearly acting in parody, and they were instructing people to be diabolical and evil. If that's happening, yeah, you are absolutely defended. You are allowed to pretend to be a mentor or a mod, or even me. You could pretend to be Evil Git by having, say, a skull with a giant twirly mustache and a pair of glasses with a fake nose. That's 100% fine, assuming it's clear that it's a parody. If people are trying to impersonate other users without any attempt at parody, that's actually pretty guideline breaking. That's a concern we're going to show up as moderation. But a joke is fine in that regard. Parody is fine in that regard, assuming it's clear. Miss Name asks, is there a way in Resonate to block certain aspects of an avatar, like the shield level in VR chat? We do have settings, new settings that came in for graphical fidelity that is similar to that in terms of reducing effects that might be particularly costly to run, but there's not an individualized level for removing aspects of an avatar other than removing the visuals entirely. Of course, if you want that as a feature, I always encourage you bring that over to the GitHub. I think we probably already have an issue talking about that sort of information, you're certainly welcome to dig through, see if one exists, contribute to it, or of course start a new issue for that feature request down the line. Kirk clarifies, I should have recorded him. He said he helped a person and told them all the wrong things because it was funny. So if someone is just deliberately deceiving another user to ruin their play experience, that's the sort of thing we'd be interested in receiving any evidence you have and a ticket, and we might be able to follow up treating that as harassment of that new user. That's separate from what I heard people describing the anti-mentors as, but it's certainly something we, independent of it, would like to hear further details on if you come across it. Feel free to submit a ticket, providing any information you can about that. All right, I think we've chewed through most of those questions. I'm going to scroll back to the top and pull another one out of the hat. In what ways would telling people you don't want to interact with them because you find their interest, demeanor, speech impediment, safe work avatar, or etc. annoying or gross or whatever constitute a form of harassment? I.e., in what ways? When does telling someone, please don't communicate with me for a reason, become harassment in and of itself? And I certainly imagine it would become harassment if it became excessively vitriolic. If you were being very, very crass or, again, persistent in be telling them that you don't want to talk to them rather than simply informing them and then immediately taking action, such as blocking them or removing them from your session. But I think the same line would be drawn as the initial harassment case, right? You have to have persistent behavior there rather than just telling a person, I don't want to talk to you, and then blocking them or removing them. You are just yelling that fact again and again and again and again without taking any sort of follow-up thing could potentially fall into that sort of issue. I imagine the other user would almost immediately want you to stop talking to them. And if you reach that point and then you didn't, you could interestingly begin to harass the person who was harassing you. It's a kind of specific hypothetical I don't anticipate we would deal with in any more complicated fashion rather than telling both of the users involved to stop communicating with the other, engage in self-moderation, and move on. But you could imagine a hypothetical where we're getting into another one of those two wrongs at the same time type of scenarios. Again, I think I would draw the same line as our original harassment line, unwanted interactions. It would be rare for telling someone you don't want them to talk to you to become a persistent unwanted interaction, but if you manage to find a way to get it into that category, it could apply too. Alex2PI asks, any new information on the mentor program? No. Good question. Sorry, I mean, seriously, I do not have immediate updates to the mentor program to provide today. There is no PSA to release concerning the mentor program right now, though I do know the mentor leads are still chewing away, working away on their end of things. Nuki follows up with, I guess that's not a question, but personally, I don't like the way people have referred to perfectly safe avatars as fetishes. It feels really rude and tangentially queerphobic. There's certainly a lot of, the potential for a lot of unwanted behaviors wrapped up in people trying to cut off communication with other individuals. I can understand sometimes this happens in a fashion that isn't clear enough to be able to field the ticket or really understand the intentions of the other person. It's just a sort of ick feeling from the way the person's talking to you. And my general recommendation is if you're not certain what's going on there, you're not certain what's motivating it, is to remember that you have no obligation to associate with people that are treating any of these topics in that fashion. I would recommend running sessions. I'd recommend engaging with session moderation tools and blocking yourself. You don't need to stay around folks if you're getting a red flag or two concerning their sorts of behaviors. There's just no obligation on your part. And of course, if it ever does become clear that that does seem to be the motivation behind actions, we have a very strict set of guidelines relating to intolerance on this platform. Please let us know. We will do what we can to assist. We're getting into a broader discussion back and forth as people are highlighting perhaps the most salient concern in conversations for us in terms of defining what counts as adult content as it relates to things inside of fetish material or kink material, which is to say the definitions are difficult to nail down and we anticipate subjectivity and their interpretation and wildly diverging opinions across the board. It has made it difficult for us to craft guidelines around, and I understand and anticipate that there will be disagreements between users on what type of content falls into what category. My recommendation as a moderator in all of these scenarios is to try to be respectful of other people's comforts, in a sense. Not that you have to always change your behavior on that, on the basis of someone else's comfort level, so much as making sure you're, when you're doing something, you've crafted the area you're in, because you can host your own, to be filled with people who are all right with it. If folks come into your space and they want to change the way you host your space, but it's not guideline breaking behavior, you hold no obligation to abide by their standards. You can show them the door, and if they want to make a big fuss of it, you have session moderation tools to curate your user experience so that you will not encounter people offering those takes. And likewise, if you would like to see certain content not present inside of your session, we have provided boards that can give you session guidelines, which are above and beyond the guidelines that we enforce, that you as a host might want to see enforced in your session. And again, you can make use of session moderation tools to remove people who do not comply with them. Cork asks, what about if you have DVs on your avatar, but it is not the bracelet? Is that avatar still considered not safe for work? I'm assuming DVs are associated with some sort of system to allow adult content to be present on the avatar under certain circumstances. I don't know what a DV is. I'm making a guess in that regard. Please feel free to clarify if I'm wrong. Our standing explanation when it comes to adult content on avatars is no amount of trickery makes it acceptable. Have an avatar that's completely lacking adult content, use it in public worlds. Have an avatar that has adult content, use it in worlds that are appropriate for adult content. To wit, they need to be hidden from public view, all users need to be 18 years of age or older, and everyone needs to consent to view that content. We don't generally endorse any other system than having two entirely separate avatars. Cork clarifies, but without the bracelet system, it is not there, just the parent. If what's in the avatar, if you load out the avatar and you hand it to me and I put an eyeball on the avatar and it does not contain any adult content, like the parent is just a slot with a name, parent, that's fine. I don't care. There's no adult content on that avatar. It's okay. If any adult content is capable of being loaded in or brought onto it or hidden on it or otherwise going to load onto it through any system, no matter how complicated, sophisticated, or absolutely triple, quadruple checked, certain to never load it in public, I'm not going to endorse that system. Moderation simply does not endorse any system other than having an avatar that is 100% compliant with world or public worlds, used in public worlds, and another avatar that has whatever bells and whistles you'd like to put on it for use in private worlds, or adult content rated worlds, I should clarify. Cork asks sort of the question when it comes to kink and fetish-related material more broadly. Cork says, why is Vore considered adult when you can watch it on Saturday morning cartoons? And that is the bizarre, strange world of human sexuality wrapped into a single question. We are doing our best to craft a guideline that allows people to be able to do what they would like on our platform and still be comfortable on our platform. And I understand it's going to lead to weird moments like that, but we're doing our best to get around the weird nuances of kink content, fetish content, and dealing with people in an online shared space. The line we draw, in case folks are unaware, is that generally having something that could be categorized as kink or fetish, but isn't hitting our definition for sexually explicit, is that that's fine if it's just neutrally present inside of it. When someone starts engaging actively in doing something that is kink or fetish related, then it has to be dragged. Then it counts as adult content. It needs to be dragged to another world. The main distinction here is because it turns out there's troves of things that could tentatively be covered under kink content, for want of a better term, that people will just use as casual wear. So we've made our line between just it being statically present and some sort of activity occurring. Activity is when we start considering adult content more broadly. To get back into some questions, because I think I missed a couple here. Nuki asks, what if I have an anchor that is in my mouth that small people can sit in? Is that too close to four? Certainly could be. It seems like the sort of thing we would lead with a reminder, certainly if you were actively engaging in doing that in public sessions. Cyberfrog asks a separate question entirely. What will happen if someone joins my headless server and this bad person leaves something not safe for work or adult content in your world? Who would be punished? What would be the consequences? We'd try and run down who did that. You're not responsible purely as the host for people coming in and vandalizing your world. If you gave us the ticket, we would try to identify what happened. If someone else gave us the ticket and then named you as the individual, you might get the initial warning or even account restrictions. I'd heavily encourage, if that happened, that you submit an appeal, provide us with that additional context, and we will try to resolve the situation. As always, if we're just talking about one instance of adult content, we're likely to lead with warnings, reminders, some sort of message from the Resonite bot, and only if it happens again and again do we start going into account restrictions. Misname asks, what are the terms under copyright? For example, one of my friends is creating a one-for-one remake of Beat Saber. What are the procedures in place? Assets are obvious, but recreating the game behavior field to be one-to-one or close to. Short of us receiving a message for a DMCA takedown request, if it's relating to assets or something else, if it's relating to behavior, we're not going to be attempting to moderate the systems you're building on platform for potential copyright infringement. That's beyond the scope of moderation inside of Resonite. Cork asks, why does VRChat not consider Vore as adult? We do. VRChat is a different platform run by different people, published by a different company. They have different standards than us. Nuki provides sort of the example. So to give another example, pictures of people wearing leather would be okay, same with avatars, but actual fetish play, spanking, restraint, etc. must be private. And yeah, that's a very succinct way of putting where we put the line right now. We try and differentiate between activity and just neutrally existing inside the world. I understand even inside of that context, there are going to be gray spots. The line might get blurry a little bit, but we try and navigate with as much nuance and grace as we can. Jack asks, so from my understanding, a Vore system itself wouldn't be considered adult content unless it was used in an explicit way, right? Because just the system isn't explicit, but people getting off to using it is that correct? I'm not going to include the getting off to it bit. It's just action. If people are engaged in that system, you could be running into problems with us. But a system that exists as part of a just sitting there inertly unused could be fine. Of course, as I always like to bring in whenever this discussion comes up, this was part of why we provided people with session rule boards to give folks the ability to establish rules for their sessions above and beyond the guidelines. If you'd like to adopt a higher standard, you're welcome to do that. You don't host anything you don't want to host. Assuming none of the new session guidelines don't violate other guidelines we have, such as something on intolerance, your session guidelines are fine. Cork asks, what about jockstraps? I get really mixed responses on them, and I anticipate that that's going to run into the could run into problems under our definition for sexually explicit stuff, where we're talking about definition around genitalia being present. If there's definition, you're going to run into issues. I'm not going to give you an explicit definition for when the curvature of meshes surrounding jockstraps becomes adult content, but if you're engaging with any definition in that part of the body, expect an issue with moderation. Cyberfrog asks a follow-up. Is it okay to have a public headless then, make it private, then spawn adult content, then remove it, then make it public? isn't it, won't it be stored in the cache server or an undo? I would, because of that very reason, recommend against that. There's certainly only a fringe likelihood of people encountering adult content in a way where they didn't consent to it, don't want to see it, or it's back in a public space. But because that fringe thing remains, I would recommend strongly against doing that. I'd recommend starting a new session if you're going to go public again, certainly. Cork says, as a general comment, they need to add a way for adult sessions to still allow friends to enter without an invite, while we intend to provide additional features down the line. I'm not going to give you estimates on when things are going to arrive. I'm not going to describe how they could look when they arrive, but we're very, very obviously a platform still under development. If you have features you would like, I will always encourage you to bring them to the GitHub and post them there. Get all your friends that want to see that to add to the thread and upvote the thread. Show that there's a general community interest in this or that feature. That's the sort of engagement we absolutely love to see. Kirk follows up with another clarification. Is a big circle okay for a jockstrap, but the shape of the double asterisk? Not really certain what you're implying with the back there, but if there's any definition, do anticipate problems, yes. As always, I'm going to lean back on the oldest of answers. If you are genuinely uncertain, despite several clarifications from us as we try and draw a line on whether something's good in the public world, my actual recommendation often becomes, maybe you should treat that as adult content. Just to be safe, make sure you're in a world where it's not public or not visible to the public. Everyone present is 18 or over, and everyone present consents to view it. If you're just genuinely not certain where that line is drawn, make sure you're in a world where the line doesn't matter. Alex2PI asks, portal to private world with adult content in public world becomes public? Question mark? You're asking if a public world has a portal in it to a private world where there's adult content. Yeah, that's bad. You've left that world open. Don't do that. That is still reachable, attainable by the public. It's visible to the public. Do not do that. All right, we have burned through a significant amount of our time today, floating around 12 minutes past when I should have rung the bell and called it a day. But it's been a lively discussion with a whole bunch of questions. Nuki, I'd like to apologize. I don't think I got to all of the questions you had up top. There's still a few kicking around. If they're still there, by all means, pick them up, drag them to next week. I will keep chewing through them. It's the sort of thing I would always be happy to continue the discussion around. As for everyone else and all the questions you've had today, thank you very much for them. I'm always happy to see this more lively than not. If anyone is worried that they're asking me questions and us going late is a bad thing, don't. It's the very opposite. We like to see people engaging with moderation. We like to see people asking questions and trying to find out where those lines are drawn. I find, in my experience, people who ask questions about these things aren't trying to find a way to cheat the rules. They're trying to find a way to be compliant with the rules. That's a great indicator of some of the people in the community doing their best to try and do things correctly. Please come with your questions. Please ask. I'm always happy to see them. With that in mind, I'll give the usual. I'm going to be available next week at the same time in the same location. You'll be able to find me here every Sunday at 4 p.m. EST. Of course, look out for the notification. And if you'd like notice of it coming down the line, pick up the office hours roll. I am, with that in mind, going to double check for our last couple of questions before I just fly out the side of the world. Cora clarified, with the portal system, what if it had a password? No, we don't have a password. You'd have to do something in-world, and so it would still be visible. That's not sufficient. And I think that is it in terms of strong questions. I missed your question. I'm very sorry. It has been a pretty busy day, and it's just been me, no Veer. So if your question was missed, I would encourage you again to head to the ticket system if you'd like to ask it there, or just hold on to it for next week. I'm going to be present again, and you can always ask that question then. With that in mind, I hope everyone here has a fantastic weekend. And I will see you next time, folks.